their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And it's good to have you back listening with us today as we move into spring here in the Rockies, which means snow followed by 70 degree weather.
Yeah.
or vice versa, 70 degree weather followed by snow.
Yeah.
We've been getting that's par for the course out here.
Yeah, but we're heading for a nice weekend.
Baseball season is starting up this weekend. It's very good. I'm actually going to the baseball game up in Denver this weekend, so I'm excited about that. See the Dodgers and the Rockies play it out. But
no, that'll be fun.
Well, it's just good because it's that thing about, you know, even with the lower capacity, you know, and mask, I'm good with that. I just get me out to a ballpark, get me a hot dog and a beer, and I'm really happy if that's my day.
No, I'm doing a similar thing in early May with my son. I got tickets to see the Nuggets, and you know they're doing reduced capacity, still masking, but it'll be quiet, it'll be nice in comparison. Quiet in the sense of it won't be all jam-packed.
Absolutely.
I got a great deal on seats, so I was happy.
That's cool. Yeah, you know, it is a positive sign. We're still being careful, of course, with everything. But, it's like we're looking forward to, we were talking about our Oregon trip. You know, we wouldn't be scheduling that if we didn't think it was safe. If we didn't think that between precautionary measures and vaccine rollout, you know, we honestly wouldn't be even thinking about a trip if we didn't think we could pull it off without risk.
Yeah,
or with minimal.
And related to that, I did get my second shot on Monday.
Sweet.
And other than feeling, you know, a little bit fatigued Tuesday afternoon and evening, which was gone by Wednesday morning, it was fine. Arm was a little bit sore, no big deal.
But it was fine for a couple of weeks.
First time, I didn't even notice getting the actual shot. You know,
yeah.
There's just nothing to it. So, you know, definitely get signed up to get one if you haven't already.
Yeah, I can tell you from having a variety of vaccines for various things when I have it travel, like yellow fever vaccine, and that one hurt.
I remember that one.
Those cholera subcutaneous hurts. Ones hurt, you know, and this thing was nothing. It was like, no, I almost didn't even notice it. I was so jacked up. My second one's in a couple weeks, and then, you know, we'll be all good. But
all golden.
It feels really great to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel here. So today we're going to talk about a couple things. We've got a light.
Before we do that, just a reminder, you mentioned it briefly, but
yeah,
we do have an Oregon workshop planned for mid-May coming up soon. So
May 9th.
Yeah, and it really should be cool. Like we mentioned last week, it's one of our favorite shooting locations, and we know people would enjoy it. So please take a look at the details. You can find them via our Facebook page or on your website.
Right. And if you're not signed up for my email newsletter, you get them that way too. But yeah, we're looking forward to that one because it's such a great place and it'll be green and waterfalls and we're staying right on the beach. We're going to stay right on Cannon Beach pretty much, you know, walking distance from walk out and
I'll just say, I don't think you can be closer to Haystack Rock.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So
looking forward to it.
All
okay.
Right. So today.
Yeah. So what was I saying? Oh, so we've got a quick Lightroom tip, which is one that you kind of figured out and I've implemented in my workshops and it's super useful.
It's really cool.
And then we're going to talk about some philosophical, that question of, if you could only have one lens, what would it be? And there's no right or wrong answer to this, but it's a thought provoker.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of good things. So, but with Lightroom, you came up with this. We were talking, and one of the things that Lightroom has, of course, is local adjustments, and that's the brushes and the gradients and the radial, those gradients. But people used to comment a lot. There's no select all tool in Lightroom, and there's certain adjustments in the local suites that aren't available in the global panels. Those are things like Moiré, also what else? The recently the hue shift is in there. And then also powerful things in the local adjustments like range masking, which is like luminosity or color range selections, brightness. And sometimes you want to just apply it to the entire image, not use a brush or, And so you came up with this wonderful idea and it works. And what, and so that tell us about that.
Well, the idea is, like you were saying, especially with the range masking things are great ways of putting things like noise reduction or sharpening or whatever just into certain portions of the image, like just having noise reduction go into the shadows. And we'll talk about the range masking stuff in a later episode because it'll take a little bit of time. But the important point is you can focus it. But then you're left with, well, how do I get it across the whole image in those portions of it, maybe the shadows? And what you do is in Lightroom, in the development module, you just zoom out a little bit. The easy way to do that is Command or Control minus, and it'll just kind of back off your image a little bit. And then you do a grad filter adjustment outside of the image. So
Right,
into that
you put
area
it on
that
the
you've now,
border.
yeah. And you, that's why you zoom out so you have a little bit of room and you just draw your grad, with just a short transition. It doesn't really matter if you're outside the frame. And that way the whole image is selected. And so now you can play with the entire image like it's a local adjustment and not worry about where you brush it in or not or erasing portions. But you can use those very, very powerful range and color masking tools.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's super. I find usually I back out to about 33%. You just want to have a nice gray or whatever color you've set your background, border on in the develop module. So you might have to zoom out a bit. And then just place that gradient off. I usually place them at the top and then
Me
drag
too.
upwards so that the gradient extends below. And if you need to check to make sure you're doing it right, when you place a gradient or any of those filters, sub tip, press the you can show the overlay by pressing, I think it's like the A key on Lightroom or
I
O.
always use the check box.
Yeah, there's a little checkbox at the bottom left when you're applying a gradient or even with the brush where it can show the overlay. So you show what the mask area looks like. And you can change the color and do all that stuff too, but that's what I like doing. And so then you can just make sure that you see the fill on the entire image, and then just toggle it off for your adjustment. So, but that's a very simple thing to do, and you end up with a fill all, and then you just use those tools globally. So yeah, and I think you're
It
right. We'll
works
come
well.
back to those. Discussion of range masking on another time, because that's a huge, huge, powerful feature. It's one of those you don't have to go into Photoshop nearly as often anymore because it exists now in Lightroom.
Right.
That's what I found at least.
Yeah,
Well, cool.
it was a wonderful enhancement a couple years ago. Really, really good.
So
All
we'll put
right.
that on the list for next time.
So part two is talking about lenses, and like you were mentioning earlier, wanted to talk about the idea of, okay, if you could only have what lens, one lens, what would you pick? And then we quickly, when we were thinking about this idea, said, well, why don't we do kind of a part one that's pragmatic, and then part two that really aligns more with our the way that we like to shoot, the way we
Yeah.
see, those kinds of things, because they're different things.
Yeah, and this is
At
a
least for
topic
me.
that you see all the time in discussion forums or in Facebook groups. You know, it's the if you could only have one lens, what would it be? And you know, unfortunately, there's no right or wrong answer, and it's not easy. And you know, we're spoiled because we live at a time when most lenses are pretty darn good. Like we don't have the quality limitations that might have made you select something differently 20 or 30 years ago, isn't as much of a factor as it was, you know, anymore. Because
And I would
even
say even if you go back 5 years, you would find a few lenses on the market, and they're actually still out there, sort of, that are okay in some ways, but really bad in others. But they are dropping like flies, and the new lenses that are coming out from every manufacturer are really pretty fabulous. They really are.
So, I mean, because part of the equation in the past would have been, well, I would love this lens, but they suck. So I, you know, optically it's not very good. So I wouldn't, you know, that's a trade-off you'd have to make. And so, you know, because it used to be the old zooms versus primes question, right? You know, zooms kind of sacrificed image quality a little bit compared to their fixed focal length cousins, you know. So your answer to this might have been different, you know. And frankly, you know, it also depends on where you are financially. I mean, my first camera came with one lens, and that was my lens. I mean, that was just it.
I
So,
resemble
you
that.
know, so I, you know, there was a time when cameras didn't even come with, you know, zooms were never the lens that came with the camera. So let's just
No,
talk about
it was a hope you like 50 millimeters, because that's
exactly.
what you're gonna get. That
Exactly.
wasn't terrible.
No, and I obviously shot a lot with it. And that's one lens I still have. I still have that original lens. It's, you know, for nostalgic reasons.
I understand.
So anyway, but from a practical standpoint, if someone said to us, you know, to you, Rick, okay, you're gonna have to have one lens now for the next, you know, month or week or, you know, life is kind of hard. That's a long time. But if you only had one lens,
Hopefully it is.
you know, and you want to do the kind of photography that you enjoy, you know, I mean the no-brainer answer is kind of like, well, an all-purpose zoom, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
It doesn't mean
that's
it's the love of my life and my favorite lens, but again, when we started off this section off, we talked about pragmatism, and that's really what it comes down to. So for me, it's probably something like a 24 to 200. A 24-105 that was maybe a little bit faster than that 24 to 200 would probably be up there too. But the 24 to 200 would just be kind of a no-brainer. I
Yeah,
could
and
survive pretty well.
you could do a lot of the kind of photography that we both enjoy with a 24 to 200, a 24 to 120, or 24 to 105, and that would include landscape photography, travel photography, casual portrait photography, and you know, you'd be giving up things like aperture and depth of field, bokeh, and all that stuff, but you'd have a lens that could attempt to be a jack of all trades. And there's that old saying that a jack of all trades is a master of none. That's, you know, so you know,
That's
it might
true.
not do everything super well as a dedicated component, but if you like a variety of photography subjects, then that's a really great lens. I mean, I wouldn't go out and say, yes, I only want one lens and that's a 600 f/4. But you could make that argument if all you were doing was setting up on the, if you lived by a beach or something and you were taking pictures of birds every day and
Sure.
that was your, you know, you
That
could
would
be
be a
happy
valid
with that,
choice.
you know. And obviously I've been on trips where that is what I've had and I only brought a iPhone as a second, you know, for snapshots, you know. But when you think about the question a little bit more deeply, I think it becomes, what is it that you like to photograph? If you only had one thing to, you know, and it had to be not a zoom lens, but maybe a prime, what would you pick? You know, what, or what focal length range would you want? Because I think that's really an interesting question, right? It's where do you find yourself gravitating to? I mean, and this goes without saying that there's going to be extremes. There's certain kinds of photography that you're just not going to be able to do with certain right. length, right? I mean, you're not going to shoot sports with a, you know, 50 millimeter all that well. I've shot basketball with it, but you know, you can do it. So that gets into a question of personal preference. And you mentioned, you know, hope you like 50 millimeters, right? That was my first lens. Mm-hmm. And so it put me into a space where I had to make that lens work for literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you know?
Right.
And you do, you just make it work. I mean, right. you back up into the corner as best you can if you have a slightly wider shot.
Or you just shoot subjects that align themselves well with that as opposed to other things.
Mm-hmm.
You always have a choice in any place you go of taking a variety of shots. You may not realize it, but you have that choice.
Right. Now, you and I diverge a little bit in terms of casual things. If you could only have a lens for a week, let's say you were going on vacation somewhere, you could only bring the mm-hmm. one lens. And it had to be a prime.
And it was fixed, yeah.
Yeah, if it had to be a prime, what would you choose?
For me, it's easy, 35 millimeter.
And you know this because you're just comfortable with that. You've shot a lot. I mean, it's a great, it really is sort of that in-between focal length. It's not so wide mm-hmm. as to be difficult to use, but it's not so tight. And you can get close with them, and they're optically really good. You can get one with a fairly fast aperture, you know, f2, f1.8 or whatever, and not break your bank. I think that would be a very compelling focal length for sort of general purpose, you know, going on a trip photography.
It is for me, and one of the tests sort of is, it's almost like I magically go to the spot where the 35 millimeter works. And so if that is what I have in my camera, I pull it up to my eye and oh, there's the shot. It's framed just like I like it. And I have, you know, repeatedly on trips where I was taking more than that, had days where I just wanted to simplify and not take as much stuff. And that's inevitably what I took.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked absolutely fine. Like we talked about earlier, I just shot things a little bit differently.
Yeah. And I think that would be an excellent choice. Now, I mean, I've done, you know, again, it depends on what you want to do. Like, so, I mean, if you're doing portraits, you would probably say, you know what, I want an 85 or a 105 and I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, that 35 millimeter focal length.
35 millimeter, it's portraits in the environment.
Right. No, it's probably, I would have to agree with you, it's probably the best overall compromise of you know, it's almost in the normal focal length, what they would call a normal mm-hmm. lens. It's not a 50. Because there's been times where I'll put on a 50 millimeter prime and go, wow, it's a little tight. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just mm-hmm. a little bit tight for certain things. It's not really wide angle. And I can honestly say, you know, I know that there's lenses that I would like, but it's easier for me to know what things I certainly wouldn't choose. Like I would not choose a 20 or even a 24 millimeter lens necessarily, because that's very restrictive. It's so wide, it pushes everything back that I don't think I would like shooting with that focal length.
Solely, yeah.
For if I only had one to choose from. Likewise, I wouldn't want something really long, but I'll tell you one that I could have fun with. Growing up, my mom had at least one lens, like it was probably a Vivitar, but it was, and this was, you know, all manual focus film, everything, mm-hmm. right? But it was a zoom, but it had a macro function on it, you know, a close, and it might have done like 1-2 or something. I don't know. I can't remember, but I had a lot of fun, and I still do have a lot of fun doing close-up photography stuff. So if I had a 105 macro or a 90 macro, I could have fun with that. Now, yeah, it's going to be very different than what you would photograph, like on a vacation. But if you did it and spent, I could spend a week, just doing close-ups of things, and for more distant stuff, you could make it work. And you can use it as a portrait lens. So
Absolutely.
it does work well for that. I don't know if that would be my one lens for life, but I do know that in my own personal experience, when I got back into photography after being on hiatus, after in college and stuff, and I got a new, I got my first autofocus camera. It was a Nikon N70. And I bought it with a Tamron 28 to 300 zoom. Okay. Which was an okay lens. It was a boat anchor. It was heavy as hell. And the thing about that lens that I didn't like was 28 isn't quite wide enough to be wide, but it had this interesting or peculiar problem, which is a tendency of these super zoom lenses, is that the minimum focus distance was still like 5 or 6 feet, even at the widest setting. So you could not physically use that lens at the wide end and do that thing we talk about, getting close to your subject, so it was always pushing everything back. So I didn't like it. I mean, I liked it for a lot of things, but it was definitely all purpose. The first real decent prime that I bought after that was a macro lens. It was a Sigma 105 EX 2.8 macro, which is a great lens. And I had a lot of fun shooting things with that lens. Plus, it was really sharp, it was optically great. So I don't know. It's one of those things. But the nice thing about this discussion is that you have to think about what it is that you really like to photograph the most. Because if you were a sports photographer, you could tell me that a 300 2.8 was the one lens you couldn't live without. It's just not as versatile. So it's kind of interesting. Now, how do you know where, there's some ways to figure out what focal length you like, even when you're using a zoom lens, right? And one of the things we both do on occasion is go through our Lightroom database, our catalog, and just see what focal length we were at for the shots that we liked the most and what they were. And that's something that's easy enough to do with programs that have that database option where you say, show me everything that I took by focal length. And you can just see the distribution of the numbers of shots. And you suddenly discover that you shoot a whole lot at, 35 millimeters or wherever.
But I think the important point is, one thing that you mentioned there, it's just not what you shot, it's what you ended up liking, the ones that you
It's your
considered
keepers.
keepers, that you printed, that you put on your website, that you sent to other people. That's the real test of what's a favorite range.
Oh yeah, I mean,
And
I'm
it
sure
doesn't mean
there's.
that you have to stick with that. It's just interesting insight.
And then, the best thing about this philosophical question is that it is philosophical. No one is going to ever, I don't know too many situations where you're going to be told you get to keep one lens and you have to make that decision and actually
No.
do it. But there's
But then.
times when you go on trips and you need to pare down, like we talked about a few weeks ago, where if you only could bring one or two things, maybe you want to bring the stuff that you align with the best.
Well, and the other, one of the reasons that we did it in two pieces, the pragmatic piece and the how do you see things piece, is for a lot of people, they really don't want a bunch of lenses. They might only want one lens. And so it's not necessarily people listening to this podcast, probably, but people listening to this might get asked for advice. And it might be, I really just want to have one lens. I want to have some flexibility. What should I buy? And right now my answer would probably be the 24 to 200 or something like that. I would have hesitancy on a 28 to 200 for myself, just because I know, despite my love of 35 millimeter lenses, I also like 24 at times, and I find the 28 a little bit confining. So my
I would
answer to
agree
those
with you.
people who wanted just to be able to buy one lens and be done, 24 to 200.
Yeah, and my hesitation with all of those 28 to whatevers is that I'm right there with you. 28 is not wide enough for the times that I want to go wide. 24 often is. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a huge difference. And I will shoot far more things with 24 than I would with 28. In the way that I approach stuff, and I think you know what I'm talking about, but I mean, there's probably someone who would tell me, well, I mean, that 28 to 300 Nikon is a pretty good lens for all purpose. But there were times when I would use it where I'm like, yeah, I still need to bring something wider because I want to get that 24. You know, it was a it was an all-in-one solution mostly. You know, it was a it was it was a it was an all-in-one it was an all-purpose solution 95% of the time. And then there was 5% of the time where I needed something wider or it didn't work.
And what happened to me, because I did do multiple trips using the 28 to 300, but I always had to take something like a 16 to 35 along as well. And so I was really carrying two lenses, one of which was not exactly small and light. And just wasn't that great as an experience.
Yeah, it's why I ended up gravitating towards the 24 to 120 for travel stuff because I found most of my shots could be covered in that range. I didn't need the 200 or 300 millimeter. It's fun, you can do stuff with it, but it wasn't going to be what I needed it for the most. So anyway, it's a good question. It's a good exercise. It's something to think yourself if you choose to agree or disagree, or we'd love to hear what your favorite focal length is. Just drop us a leave us a note or comment on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/imagedoctors. And we will be back in another week with more stuff to ramble on about. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.